Chapter 13. Monty Bernstein hated his name. It was absurd, nearly as absurd as the reasoning behind it. The least his mom could have done was lie to him about why she'd hung Monty on him, told him she'd had a fierce crush on the young Montgomery Clift, or that she had greatly admired the WW2 British Field Marshal, Sir Bernard Law Montgomery. But no, she felt compelled to tell him the truth. "I love to watch Let's Make a Deal, and I thought Monty Hall was handsome." He supposed it really didn't matter, that when your last name was Bernstein, Monty fit just as well as anything else. He also knew that the name worked for him. No one forgot his name once they heard it, even if it did elicit sneers and whispers at the country club. Harlan Salter IV had remembered it. And even though the waspy prick had counted his fingers after shaking Monty's hand for the first time, Monty didn't care. Bernstein knew that among Salter's army of attorneys and legal advisors, he was more stray dog than top dog. It didn't matter. Salter paid him a nice retainer, and when Harlan called, he needed the kinds of services only Monty could deliver. One high-end corporate lawyer was much like the next. What did it matter if one was a member of the Harvard Club or the Cornell Club? That wasn't the case when it came to criminal defense attorneys. The majority of criminal defense lawyers began their careers as prosecutors, so they understood the hunt from both the cheetah's and gazelle's perspectives. They knew which judges could be played and how to play them. They knew who among their former colleagues were hard asses or soft touches. They knew which cops had weaknesses and how to exploit those weaknesses. Most important, there was one other resource criminal defense lawyers had at their disposal that the Skull and Bones boys didn't. Bad people. Very bad people. For the bulk of his 10 years under Harlan Salter IV's retainer, Monty Bernstein hadn't had to dip into that exclusive well. He'd had to ask a favor from a former lover to get the oldest Salter's son, Micah, out of an assault charge stemming from a bar fight near Boston College. He'd acted as a go-between for Harlan with a narcotics detective who'd caught the middle Salter's son, Elijah, buying coke in Roxbury. But until now, Monty hadn't had to do anything for the youngest son, Ben. He was the good kid, the one who followed the rules and kept his nose clean. The problem with life was that even if you didn't go looking for trouble, trouble sometimes came looking for you. From what Harlan had told Monty on the phone, it seemed that the worst kind of trouble had found Ben. Monty stepped out of his offices and into the back seat of the black Lincoln Navigator. Harlan's driver closed the door behind him. Salter was in the back seat as well, staring out the window, smoking his pipe. The earthy, sweet cherry aroma of the smoke overwhelmed the lawyer. Monty should have been used to the aroma of Harlan's pipe by now, but it was always a shock to him. He couldn't think of another person he knew who smoked a pipe. Salter didn't acknowledge Monty until the large SUV began moving. Even then, he didn't look at the lawyer. "You've spoken to your friends about how to proceed?" Harlan said, his voice cool and firm. "I have." Harlan clicked the stem of the pipe against his teeth. "And their advice? Get the kid back first." That got Salter's attention, and he deigned to look at Bernstein, pointing the pipe at him. "Your friends have a flair for the self-evident and a gift for the obvious. I hope they prove to be more helpful than this as matters progress." Monty was unfazed. "Get Ben back any way you can. Promise them anything. Sign anything you have to. Promise them money or the moon. Whatever. We have a pretty good idea of who snatched him, right? So we don't have to draw attention to you by churning up any soil. Once we get Ben back, my friends will handle things. Once we get my son back safely, I want that girl's murder avenged. I want it done in a way that sends a clear message to the people who perpetrated these acts. I want people to suffer, and I want to watch." "As your attorney, I have to advise against," Harlan Salter interrupted, sticking the tip of his pipe into the lapel of Monty Bernstein's gray Armani suit. "I want people to suffer, and I want to witness their suffering. Do we understand one another, Monty?" Perfectly, Harlan, he said, wiping a drop of saliva off his lapel. And the police in Paradise, will they be an issue? Salter returned his gaze outside the Lincoln. The chief's ex-LAPD, homicide. He's no dope. Ben will be their first suspect. But let's see what they have in terms of evidence. One way or the other, we'll get around the cops. Just please, let me do most of the talking, Harlan. Harlan Salter IV seemed to take his lawyer's last piece of advice immediately to heart, and didn't say another word all the way to Paradise.